It's really great to be with you today, and I'm so glad to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you. You know, there are many people in the world who do not live in a community where they have a church like this. There is no active Christians around them to share the Word of God. So the question is, how are they going to hear? Well, one way is, maybe God would call some of us to leave where we are and move to the place where they are and be a witness among them. And that is something that God desires to do. He raises up people for that purpose. But there's a second way that God is working out His plan to bless all nations, and that is He's taking people from those parts of the world and those people groups in the world that have not had an opportunity to hear about Christ, and He's moving them close to where God's people are. He's doing that in the form of immigrants, refugees, and international students. And you know, there are over 7,000 international students from over 100 different nations studying at The Ohio State University. The majority of them are coming from China and India and other countries where the number of Christians and the people groups in those nations, many of them have not had an opportunity to hear the Word of God. I'm friends with an Indian fellow right now who comes from North India. He is part of a group of people that are 1.6 million of them, of which there are 0.00% Christians among them. And this young man has an open heart to the Lord. He's wanting to follow Jesus, and I'm having the privilege of investing in his life. But I never went to India, to his part of India, but God sent him here. So that's what God is doing in our day and age. And the key to working with international students is the practice of hospitality. So I'd like to share with you today what that looks like and to see how God can invite us to participate in that. So let me begin by telling you a story. Okay, let me tell you about my friend Taeyu here. Taeyu is on the left. She's the woman from Taiwan who came to study at The Ohio State University. And Taeyu is a strong Buddhist in her country. She actually studied Buddhist philosophy before she came to the United States. She came to study for a PhD in education. She didn't have a place to stay when she arrived, and so one of the services we provide is airport pickup and temporary housing for their first few days. And so a Christian family invited Taeyu to stay with them while she got adjusted. And when she stayed with them, they invited her to have the first meal together. And they did what many families do, is they pray before they ate. The husband and father in the family not only prayed for the food, but prayed for Taeyu. And he prayed a beautiful prayer, asking for God to watch between her and her family while they were apart, asking that she would make new friends in the United States so she wouldn't feel lonely, asking that God would help her with her studies and with understanding English. And Taeyu shared with me later that she had never heard anyone pray for her personally, and never had heard such a personal prayer to God before. And it touched her heart. And she thought to herself during the prayer, I don't know who he's praying to, but I would like to know more about that God. And so right there, in her first meal in the United States, God began to touch her heart. And then she saw the love in that family. And she left that family and decided to join a Bible discussion group on campus. And through that Bible discussion group, she came to know Christ. And then she now is a full-time worker sharing the gospel in China. But hospitality was the key. That was the thing that opened the door for God to begin to work in her life in the United States. I have another friend, Abdul, here pictured in the middle. Abdul came to study in the United States from Afghanistan. Now, you probably know about the war in Afghanistan, but I don't know if you realize that 99.9% of Afghans are Muslims. There is no church in Afghanistan, no open church. There once was one church in Afghanistan, but the government knocked it down with bulldozers, and then they dug underneath it with bulldozers because they had heard that there was an underground church, and they wanted to find it. It's a true story. But Abdul came from that country where he had no opportunity to meet Christians. And he came here, he left his family at home, he was a PhD student, he went to school all day, came back and studied, but he had no interaction, and he was lonely. And so when he heard through our ministry that he could go to a home for a meal, he eagerly signed up. And the family invited him for coming over for Sunday lunch. And they said, "We go to church in the morning. Would you be willing to come to church with us before lunch?" And Abdul did not want to go to church. He was a Muslim, and he had no interest in going to church. But he really wanted to go to lunch. So he agreed to go to church. And then he went home with them, and he had the most wonderful afternoon. He later told me, "That was the best day I've ever had in the United States." They spent the afternoon talking about his family and about the situation in Afghanistan. They looked at family pictures together, and he just felt so at home. So when they said, "Would you like to do this again next week?" he said, "I'll go to church with you every week if I can come home with you afterwards." And so that became his weekly activity with this family. And he saw the love in this family. He began to listen to the messages of the pastor, and he joined my Bible discussion group. And through that, he learned about Jesus Christ. And he made the decision, having never met an Afghan believer in his life, that he would follow Jesus Christ. And then he wanted to read the Bible in his own language, which is Dari. And you know, there were so few believers from Afghanistan that when the Bible was translated, it was done by someone who studied Dari and then translated it. But he said the translation was rough. And so he dedicated himself to retranslate the New Testament into the Dari language, which he successfully did. But it was hospitality that made a huge impact in him and opened the door for the gospel to be shared. Brothers and sisters, if we want to see the world change today, if we want to see the blessing flow to all the nations, the key is the practice of biblical hospitality. We are told as followers of Christ three times directly that hospitality is to be part of our lives. Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Romans 12:13, practice hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling or without complaining. So we are told these things directly by God as instructions about how to follow Him. And I want you to notice the two key words here. The first word is strangers. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Who are these strangers? Biblically, in the Old Testament, the word stranger can be translated as foreigner, alien, or sojourner. It means people who've moved from their culture away from home to another culture. God was very instructive that we are to be the type of people that welcome people from other cultures. Jesus expanded the meaning in the New Testament to include other outside people and marginalized people. But the point is, hospitality is different than fellowship. You know, Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. That is what we're to do in the body of Christ. But then he tells us, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. So we must recognize that in order to fulfill this command of the Lord, we have to be open to welcome those people that are unfamiliar to us, those outsiders from other cultures who come and live here in the form of international students, immigrants, refugees. The second thing you want to see is that there is, let me change my page here. There's two key warnings. It warns us, first of all, do not forget to show hospitality. And why do you think God would say, do not forget? Because we tend to forget. That's very clear. And the reason we tend to forget is for lots of reasons. There's other priorities. Maybe it's something we don't think is very important. As we're going to see later in the story, maybe it's because of busyness. But the point is that God wants us to put this in front of ourselves, that we are not to forget it. It's that important. And then secondly, he gives us this warning that we should do it without grumbling. Now, why would someone grumble? Well, we realize that if, depending on how we see hospitality, that the work that's involved in it might seem like an inconvenience, it might be at the wrong timing, and so we can grumble about it, and God tells us both things, don't forget and don't grumble. But the beautiful thing is God not only tells us that he wants us to do it, but he tells us that he wants to bless us. He reminds us that in the story of Hebrews 13:2, that some people who practice hospitality had such an experience with God that God showed up in the form of angels. And other stories in the Bible illustrate the way that God's presence comes in power when we practice hospitality. There's the story of a Shunammite woman in the Old Testament who opens up her home to Elisha. And as a result of that, she ends up being able to have a son, even though she had been barren for so many years. And then later on, that son is raised from the dead. And it was because she opened her home. We know there's a widow of Zarephath who opened her home in the Old Testament. And as a result of that, she had a supernatural supply of food. A provision in a miraculous way came into her family. And just throughout the Bible, wherever hospitality is practiced, God does amazing things. Don't you want to have more of the Lord's presence? Wouldn't you like to experience more of the Lord's power and provision? Isn't that wonderful that God is saying that the practice of hospitality is one of the ways that God works in our lives? He could have said in this scripture, don't forget to show hospitality because there's a lot of lonely international students or because they really need a home. Those are true. But he puts the emphasis on the fact that he wants to show up in our lives. So we should take note of that special blessing. Now, before we look at a story in the scripture which illustrates that, I told you two stories about people that had been touched by hospitality. But I want you to hear another one directly from someone. You know, I don't want to tell his story. I want him to tell a story. I couldn't bring Abdul and Tayu here, but I brought my friend Jimmy from China. So I'm going to ask him to come and share with you how he experienced the Lord's presence through hospitality.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, everyone. My name is Jimmy. I'm an international student from China, and it's my fourth year in the United States. I come from a country where most of everyone believe there's no God. The only thing they believe is themselves. So that's basically what I was like when I first came to the United States for high school in the summer of 2016. Interestingly, my father chose a Christian high school for me, and I will be living with the host family. I did not know anything about Christianity at first. In fact, I did not even care what kind of school it was because I was very nervous. It was my first time studying and living in a foreign country. I had no friends, and I did not even know who I would be living with. However, after getting to know my host family and living with them for a while, everything just started to get better. My anxiety and worries are gone. Even though my English was not good, I could feel the love and care from them. They treated me just as their own son. I started to wonder, is it what a Christian family looked like? They are so nice and loving. In order to find out more, I decided to go to church and youth group with them. Even though the pastor was always talking so fast and I could barely understand the sermon, I could feel that there was something special and different that the pastor talked about comparing to other speeches I heard before. So I became more and more interested in Christianity. After going to church for a while, my host family invited me to go through a Bible reading plan with them, and they told me it's going to change my life. I was so curious that what kind of book can really change someone's life. We spent 20 minutes every day to read the Bible. When I didn't understand something, they were always so patient to explain. They also asked me tough questions, such as, what is the purpose of your life? Which makes me to think deeper and deeper. Gradually, my heart was opened to the words of God, and I started to understand more and more about the truth and how much Jesus loves me. I then decided to be baptized in the spring of 2017. Now I'm living the best life, and I'm so grateful that my host family shared the gospel and showed the love of Christ to me. What my host family did has significantly impacted my faith. And now I have the opportunity to impact and inspire others who is around me. As I finish college and start working, I will always be a warrior of Christ. Thank you for listening.
Let's look in the scripture now to get some further insights on hospitality through one of the stories. You're probably familiar with the story of Martha and Mary, so let's look at that story again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." First of all, we see that Martha was a woman who wanted to be hospitable. She desired to have Jesus in her home. What a good thing it was that she invited Jesus in. This attitude of welcome is at the heart of hospitality, the desire to show honor to someone else by opening your home to them. In fact, one of the highest honors that is in other cultures is when someone invites you into their home. And so Martha had a sincere desire. Abraham had that desire when the strangers were going past, and he urged them to come in. Please, if I found favor in your sight, please come into my home. It was like that in the Samaritan village when Jesus had shared with the Samaritan woman, and then he met the Samaritans, and it said the Samaritans urged him to stay with them. So the first question I have for you in looking at the spirit of hospitality, whether you have that or not, and the desire to practice hospitality, do you have an eagerness to invite strangers in? Is that a desire in your heart? We can, first of all, ask the Lord to shape our desire that we would want to welcome people. You know, the gospel is all about hospitality. The gospel is pictured as the welcome of God, where we are going to be invited to his home to stay forever. And God does it eagerly, doesn't it? He really wants us to be with him. He really wants us to be in his home. Aren't you glad God has given us that invitation? Aren't you looking forward to being with Jesus around the table? Yeah, it's going to be great. There's going to be people from the north and the south, the east and the west. Abraham's going to be there. Oh, we're going to have great conversation around that table. But we're welcome. So that's the first thing. We have to have a welcoming spirit. The second thing we learn about hospitality is that the true spirit of hospitality is giving honor to the person by giving them focused attention. You see, the contrast between Martha and Mary is the meal, food is a very good part of the way conversations take place. God designed food for fellowship. God designed food not just for fuel, but for a relationship where we enjoy one another. But the heart of that eating is meant to be sharing and listening to one another. Mary understood that. So when Jesus came to the house, what she wanted most was to give her focused attention to Jesus and hear what he had to say. You know, if you invite someone to your home and you don't pay attention to them at all, it's really dishonoring. You know, sometimes I go to visit other countries and stay with my international friends, and if they just want to do a lot of different things like take me sightseeing and go different places, I appreciate that. But the thing I most want to do is sit down and talk with them and spend time together, hearing what their life is like, what their struggles are like. And that's the beautiful thing. Mary recognized Jesus had brought a gift. He actually brought the meal. It wasn't a physical meal, but it was a spiritual meal. And the Bible compares bread to spiritual food. And I think it's like Jesus brought fresh baked bread. I love fresh bread. And there it was, the fresh word of God coming, and Mary wanted to receive it. Mary wanted what Jesus had to give. And so when we have a guest over, the most important thing we do is not put on a show, not do a lot of different things for them, is just be with them. Find out what God has put on their heart, how God is working in their life. What are their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations? I love when yesterday I was hiking with international students. We went to Hocking Hill State Park. And there was a new guy, had just come a couple weeks ago. He was in my Bible discussion group on Friday night. I have a group of students together. And as we were hiking, and I got to ask him some questions and ask him why he had come to the United States, what motivated him. And he said, I am looking for spiritual answers for my life. And I'm like, oh, wow, I can see God is preparing this guy's heart. I'm so excited to know that about him. And it's because we had a good conversation while we walked along. So that's the true spirit of hospitality. And we see that Martha had a misunderstanding of hospitality. She thought hospitality involved doing a lot of things for Jesus, having a great meal prepared. Now, in her culture, she was taking the culturally accepted role of a host. I mean, if somebody comes to your house, you should provide a meal. But I think Jesus was countercultural. I think he made it clear to Martha, you are also welcome. You have a choice to sit down and listen too. And now all the Marthas in here, there's a lot of Martha fan club out there. They're on Martha's side. they think, yeah, Jesus was a little hard on Martha. But think about it. Jesus once had a situation where 5,000 people were there, and there was a lack of food, and somehow it worked out. And it wasn't clear how it was going to work out at the beginning. I think Jesus could have brought the meal too. I would have liked to have seen if Jesus had said, "Sit down, Mary, Martha, sit down. I have something to share with you." And then Martha listens, and then after the meal, he says to his disciples, "Hey, guys, let's get the meal together." That would have been a shock. But Jesus had a way of shocking his disciples, right? Talking to the Samaritan woman, doing many other things. The point is, Martha misunderstood. And remember, it said, practice hospitality without complaining or grumbling. Isn't that what Martha is doing here? And the reason is because it's stressing her life. Brothers and sisters, God isn't wanting to stress our lives. He's wanting to bless our lives. And so if we simplify and we put the focus on the relationship and don't feel like we have to do a lot of stuff, that's going to make hospitality much more enjoyable and doable, which is what God wants to have it. And then we see here that Jesus gently rebukes Martha and gives her an opportunity to change. She can change her lifestyle. She can change her thinking about it. Some of us here today need an adjustment in our thinking. We need an adjustment in terms of thinking what we think about strangers and what it would be like to have them in our home. We need an adjustment in thinking about what it would take us. See, Martha's obstacle was busyness. And for us, the major reason why many of us don't practice biblical hospitality is we're too busy. But if what I shared with you, you understood, you know, there was a family at the first service who came and I explained to them how they could do hospitality, and they said, "Well, I don't think we can do it on this day because I'm coaching my daughter's basketball team." Maybe you know who it is now. And I said, "Oh no, bring the student with you. Just be together. They can see how you do the coaching. They might enjoy that. You don't have to like do something completely different." So this is what I'd like to do. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to practice biblical hospitality. And there's, in December, after school is over, after exams are done, many students have no place to go. Some of them go back to the country, some of them do something else, but a lot of them just hanging around. And when they hear there's an opportunity to go to an American home for the weekend, that's really appealing to them. And I would like you to consider opening your home to one of those students. Now, there can be two different weekends we're considering. One is the weekend of December 13th, 14th, and 15th. So the students would come, they'd stay with you overnight. Whatever activity you do that weekend, you just include them in it, bring them to church on Sunday, and then they'll go back to Columbus after that. We'll try and work out the transportation to bring them up here and bring them back, but you just have to be willing to host them. Or if that weekend is not good, the following weekend, which is the 20th and 21st, if that's better for you, we'll arrange on that weekend. So just think about whether or not you can host one weekend. And the second thing I want you to do is to consider praying for a student. Now, I want to have Teresa come and share, because when I talk about hospitality that changes the world, I think Teresa is a great illustration of how the world can change through international students who are called by God, have a vision, and are going to be able to do things that you and I couldn't do.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Teresa, and I was born and raised in a small village in the southern China. And and I actually have Hakka, and Hakka is one of the minority people group in China. And I came to Christ in China. After I came to Christ, I moved to United States in 2017 to do my master's studies in Virginia. And I started to host Bible studies at my apartment in the fall of 2017. That's my second semester of master's study. And then it was a little struggle for me to have people over my place because I was very busy with my schoolwork and I dislike messes. But after a while, I started to have joy in my heart as I was able to share Christ with those who came to my place. And one day, a student who came to my Bible study asked me, why do you want to host Bible study at your place? It's challenging, she said. It was challenging for a grad student to do that. And then I said, I wanted people to know God when they come to the Bible study. It's worth it. Even just one person comes to my Bible study and hears the good news. And it's amazing that those words just grab her heart and stuck in her mind. So she took over the Bible study that I left behind after I moved to Columbus, even though she was not a believer yet. And then I realized that I don't need to be perfect to host the Bible study. And also through my imperfections and brokenness, they are seeing the love and power of Christ through that. And actually, 2 weeks ago, I traveled back to Virginia for a Chinese returnee retreat. And after the retreat, I went back to Norfolk to visit some friends. And the most encouraging thing was that I got to baptize the student that I just talked about. And she was a PhD student in oceanography. So she wanted to be baptized in the Atlantic Ocean in Virginia Beach. And so after that, I got a cold. But it's a joyful cold. And so right now I'm with I-5 for my discipleship training, and I still have 2 months to go. And for the rest of my discipleship training with I-5, I wanted to focus on house church planting, as I feel called to go home to share, to plant churches in those places where there's no churches. And actually, my family, they almost all of them came to Christ, but only my brother found a church in the city where he lives. And all other my families, they couldn't find a church. So that is the current situation right now in China. And also, most of the Christians are the Han majority Chinese. And most of the unreached people group are the marginalized people group, and they are from the minority people group. And also myself, it's one of the minority people. And also, and I wanted to go home to share Christ with them and with the people who haven't heard about the good news. And every time I think about that people, many, many people are dying without hearing the good news, my heart was saddened. And so here am I. Then would you join me in prayers for my returning? And would you pray for me that I will bring the good news to my village and many other marginalized people groups in China? Would you pray that I will start many house churches in places where there's none? Thank you.
What Teresa didn't mention is that one of her assignments before she went back to China was to start a house church. And so she has been working on that, and it's beautiful to see God working through her life. And the second thing that I would like to ask you to consider doing is to pray for one international student. I really would like to see each student that I brought with me today have 5 people praying for them. Now, Teresa and Jimmy spoke, and so it's easy for you to adopt one of them and say, oh, I can see. But I have my friend Kofi here, who's from Ghana, and he's got a great calling on his life, and I'm so encouraged. He's in the business school at OSU with many international students. He's been reaching out to them. He just recently brought one of the guys from Burkina Faso to our Bible study group, and I know God can use him greatly among the internationals there, so you could pray for Kofi. This is Hong Hu. She's from China. She's actually in the group with Teresa. She's just been a Christian for 6 months, and I want to see her grow up and become a fruitful woman of God. You could pray for her. There's Sarah over here. Sarah, could you wave your hand? Thank you. Sarah is a PhD student at Ohio State. She's a young Christian. She has many challenges as a PhD student, but also she needs to know more of the reality of God in her life. I'd love to see you pray for her. So I'd love to see 5 people for each. If you don't have a preference or something, just go to say, I'm willing to pray. So I got 2 things for you to consider now. And you have this passport. If you want to take it out and look at it, what I'm going to ask you to do is, there's a bunch of things listed at the bottom, but if you just give me your name and contact information and put down hosting in December, and if you have a preference, put down the date, or say, pray for a student. Just you, or both of those things, put on your card. And then you could put it at the table out there. Now, I know if you're married and, you know, your wife fills it out, the wife fills it out and doesn't talk to the husband, I know that's a bad deal. So I know you're going to need to pray about it. But if you fill out the card, it's not a commitment. It's simply saying that you're open to it, and then we'll give you more information, and then you can give a final answer on that, okay? So I'm my prayer this weekend was that we'd have 20 responses to the hosting. We got 12 in the first service. I think we can get the other 8 by God's grace. So thank you very much.